Can this really be the end? To be stuck inside a mobile with the Memphis Blues again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show. That's some talk. 1-065-251-343-0106. Please hit us up. Hit some of that text line. That works very well this morning. Still come on a program from Huntsville, WVNN's Dale Jackson. Also, at 11 o'clock hour, Congressman Matt Gaetz. We haven't heard from him in a while. Florida's 1st Congressional District. I know we got a few listeners over there to the east, Pensacola way, but your congressman will be joining us in the 11 o'clock hour. And we will wrap it all up with Mo Brooks, Chief of Staff Marshall Yates. Interesting backstory there. I'm going to try to break that down for you to 10 o'clock hour about what to expect and why we're going to have him on to kind of talk about why is he coming on. You don't usually see chiefs of staff come on talk radio. You usually see that, especially when the candidate or the member they are employed by is running for United States Senate. But we are defying new boundaries here on the Jeff Porter Show. But joining us now, very pleased to bring on my next guest. He is the mayor of Tallahassee, Alabama, up in the central part of Alabama. I know the community very well from my days at Auburn University. Running for PSC, Public Service Commission, Johnny Hammack on the line. Mayor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me on the show, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for taking time. Before we get into your PSC bid here, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in Tallahassee. What's the view on the ground there? How are everything? How's everything going in your hometown?
Well, it's going pretty good. We we kind of focus on our failing infrastructure. The Clean Water Act of 1972. A lot of places like Tallahassee put in lagoon systems, wastewater treatment plants, things like that, where we're getting to the 50-year mark now, and they're kind of aging out. So we're building a new multi-channel reactor sewer plant in Tallahassee. We've got a lot of cast iron gas lines we're ramping up to replace. We've replaced several miles in the 5 years that I've been over the utilities, and we're getting ready to go to bond market and replace about 20 miles of it. Working with Fraser Lanier, Lee Garrison, and John Mazeek and Bob Young, they do our bond work. So we're looking at taking out a bond to knock out a big chunk of that. We've got an old burn-up mill. I'm writing a brownfield grant right now with my staff, trying to get that industrial carnage cleaned up and hopefully build a new water treatment facility on the first 5 acres of that 26 acres.
Yeah, these companies or these industrial and these manufacturing centers have moved overseas. You see a lot of that in a lot of rural places.
It really hurt our town when the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA,
right,
was signed back in 1993. You saw a lot of the cotton textile type rural cities like Tallahassee really get hurt from that, and all the jobs kind of went to Mexico, and that plant shut down finally, not too long after that. I think they limped along to about 2005, and they finally shut their doors. So it that the city was built off the textile industry. We still have a lot of cotton farmers here in the area, but the mill's been gone for many years now.
Yeah, and most people that may not be aware, you're right there at the Tallapoosa River, kind of at the edge of Lake Martin right there. So it makes sense to have that presence there over the years, probably going back decades.
Oh, yeah. The mill started in the 1800s, before the Civil War. So it was a big producer of jobs in this area. In this area, Tallahassee has been in the economic development game for many years. I mean, thankfully, GKN is here that employs over 900 people. Neptune employs over 400. AES over 200. Haniel over 200. So we've got 2,200 industrial jobs, So when the mill finally did shut its doors, there was other places for people to work.
Well, and that's like you're seeing a lot of these transitions in Alabama's economy. It's a remarkable to watch. One last question here. The other I guess hot button for probably you and a lot of your residents there. Talk about building prisons, and one of those facilities, while, you know, I guess they wanted to keep it as close to Elmore County as possible, it was really going to be in your backyard there. But with the lease plan falling through, with Governor Ivey's lease plan, that doesn't look like that as much of a threat anymore, does it?
No, I was in D.C. I had meetings with Senator Tuberville, and I'm in two congressional districts, so I had a meeting with Mike Rogers and Barry Moore, because they're both my congressmen. And I received a phone call from CoreCivic while I was in D.C. saying that the governor's office had called them and said it pretty much gotten political, and the state legislature kind of wants to do a bond issue themselves and put it on state-owned land. I'm like, well, you know, hey, I did what I was supposed to. The governor's office asked me to work with CoreCivic and give them all the information as far as utilities, because I'm over gas, water, and sewer, and that's what I did. And I took a beating from some of my residents on it, you know, actually people that lived right outside the city where it was going to go beside them. Some of the farmers kind of jumped on me, but, you know, I was just doing, you know, what the governor's staff asked me to do.
I mean, that's what you hear right now. That would have been a massive undertaking for infrastructure-wise, I suppose, utilities. And right now, as these prisons seem to, some of them are going to be on the move. That is the concern, particularly down in Barber and Bullitt counties, that the sewer lines, the water lines, the electric grid, they're really relying upon something big like that. Something that's a significant. Prison is a significant addition to tax your infrastructure.
Yeah, it was from an economic standpoint, it was going to be a game changer for the small city of Tallahassee because of the gas sales, the water and sewer. It would have took the O&M, and what I mean by that, the operating and maintenance costs, they would have to pay their fair share of that, so it would have took it off the ratepayers here in Tallahassee because they would have to share a big piece of the pie. It just would have been a game changer. It was, the property was contiguous to the city limits, so I'd already worked it out with CoreCivic. We were going to annex that in, and then Alabama Power would be supporting the electricity to the prison, and we have a franchise agreement with them, so we would have got 5% of the power bill that CoreCivic was going to have to pay every year. So that would have been probably another $300,000.
Well, that's an interesting perspective. It just, the way it's portrayed in the media was that you guys in Tallahassee didn't want anything to do with it, but it sounded like there was at least some upside there if CoreCivic had built.
Yeah, it was, you know, I traveled to Arizona, me and Jeff Harrison, engineer for CDG Engineering that we use, and we looked at their infrastructure and how we would have to tie it all in. But, you know, I guess that was a wasted trip now. But, you know, I learned a lot. You know, I'm an optimist, you know, so take it as a learning experience. You know, it excelled my knowledge in utilities, made me, you know, grasp everything that I'm in charge of a little bit better. And from an economic development standpoint, when industries and stuff call people like me, the first thing they ask is, you know, how much sewer can you handle? Is it gravity fed? Is it force mained? Is, you know, things like that. Can you give me X amount of BTUs or NMBTUs with the gas? You know, who's your power provider? You know, luckily it's Alabama Power, and they have a whole economic development team. So it's good to work with their staff on that end of it. And, of course, we have our own water treatment facility, and we're permitted to generate 3 million gallons of water a day. So we're only about 48% capacity right now, so we've got room for growth.
We're joined by Tallahassee Mayor Johnny Hammack here on the program. Mayor, let's get into you're running in a campaign for public service commission. Now, historically, these have been difficult races. They're down ballot, so it may not be, you know, fresh on everyone's mind, but also you get to run all over the state and learn your way around Alabama. Talk about your decision to run for this office.
Yeah, my decision to run for this, I feel that we need some fresh blood on the Public Service Commission. You know, I'm not a lifelong politician. I've been in politics for 5 years, but my main job is I'm the superintendent of utilities over gas, water, and sewer. And I think it would be beneficial to that commission to have someone like me that actually knows a lot about utilities, the gas, the water, and the sewer side of it. And I see what's going on in Washington. I want to use my position as Public Service Commission after I win to be in constant contact with our two U.S. senators and our seven congressional leaders, just to let them know, hey, this is going to adversely affect us. Like, let's just say the energy policies, you know, the Green New Deal that AOC and them are trying to shove down everybody's throat, you know, those energy policies from the left do not work here in Alabama. You know, Alabama Power is the leader in the state for electricity, and they have a very diverse electrical generating portfolio, so to speak. They depend on coal, natural gas, nuclear, hydroelectricity, and biomass. And that natural gas is 40% of their production of electricity. People don't understand that. And then coal fuels about 24% of it. So the moratoriums on fracking and stuff like that on federal lands, and you know, these are things that can adversely affect the ratepayers here in Alabama from gas and electricity. So I just want to use this as a platform to work for the people of Alabama. I live 30 minutes from downtown Montgomery. I would be in that office every day, or I'd be traveling the state talking to farmers, small business owners, and industries. Hey, you know, this could adversely affect you. You know, get with me. Let's tell our Congress members, let's tell our senators, and let's see if we can stop this. That's why I want to run for this position.
Well, it sounds like you're not just the you know, the energy component of the PSC, but there's a lot more involved. It sounds to me, just based on our discussion, particularly about your role as mayor there, that you have at least have a firm grasp of what this all entails.
Yes, exactly. Yes, I mean, I'm the boots on the ground candidate. I work every day. I put in 60 to 70 hours a week, and I plan on every weekend going somewhere. You know, I'll be up in Madison County this weekend. They're having a pancake breakfast up there. I was at the Alpha Land and Farm Expo, had a booth there. I mean, it's going to be hard. I'm not going to neglect my duties as mayor and superintendent of utilities to run for this position, but every weekend I'm going to be somewhere, and some evenings I'll have to travel to some kind of Farmers Federation meeting to speak for 3 minutes, or a county GOP. But it's going to be a long 10 months, but I think I'm up for the task, Jeff.
Well, let's talk about that. The one thing you hear about, at least the national media like to hone in on certain places, regions in the Black Belt that didn't lack the proper infrastructure, that lacks sewer and water, and, you know, maybe in the more super hyper rural places in the state, but you mentioned having to make upgrades to your infrastructure there in Tallahassee. I gotta think that this is, as we approach this sort of this time frame, 50 years, that you gotta see a lot more of that, a lot more of these utilities that we take for granted, I think a lot of times, need to be updated throughout the state.
Exactly. The water lines, I'm just giving you an example. Our water lines in Tallahassee are so old, it might be a 6-inch line, but you really only have 3 or 4 inches of flow because of tuberculation. And what I mean by that, in layman's term, is just calcium buildup inside the pipes, just like sediment just kind of hardens inside the pipe. So you don't have 6 inches of flow, you have 3 or 4 inches. So you really need to get those out of there, put new pipes in. And, you know, they're talking about spending trillions of dollars on this infrastructure bill, but look at it really closely, Jeff. It's a lot of social infrastructure. It's not the infrastructure that we need with gas lines, water lines, sewer plants, things like that, broadband. You know, those are the things we need. We don't need any of this social infrastructure, and in my opinion, I mean, that's a waste of money that my grandkids are going to be paying back.
Well, tell me, though, how much of a federal component should there be? A lot of this is going to be heavy lifting by these municipalities and these counties to rebuild, right? Do you think that obviously you're not going to turn away federal money, but certainly the federal government recognizes this, and they're going to have their own component. You're going to have to steer some money toward upgrading, and then, you know, all I guess universally around Alabama.
Oh, yeah. You know, I saw the need for it years ago. That's why I graduated from the University of Alabama. But I said, I need to know how to look for these grants. So I went out and got certified from Troy University as a grant writer, and we garnered $4.3 million in grants for infrastructure in my first term. And now we're probably going to get the same in my second term, if not more, you know, just because they're out there. But a lot of rural cities like Cowsey, they don't have a clue about it. You got to educate yourself. There's a lot of USDA grants out there, EDA grant. We got, I worked with Katie Britt and Wesley Britt on that one when she was chief of staff for Shelby, that gave us over $2.4 million to go toward our sewer plant. There's a lot of things out there. A lot of these small rural towns and cities have no clue about it and how to get it.
Hey, Mayor, we're up against a break here, but folks want to check you out, find your campaign, reach out to you. Tell them where to look.
Well, they can go to my Facebook page. It's John Hammock for PSC PL1. Or you can email me. You can call me. My phone number is 334-415-3662. That's my personal cell. I don't care who has it. And when I become public service commissioner, and take the office in 2023, I'll be accessible to the public. I'll always return my calls and emails. So just give me a shout if you ever want to talk to me.
Mayor Hammock, we appreciate your time, and maybe we can talk again real soon.
Yes, sir. I'd love to come on once a month if you allow it.
Well, we'll see what we can do. Johnny Hammock there. He's Mayor of Towsey, running for PSC. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.